And welcome to the episode of Deal Talk. I'm Deal. Let's talk. My guest of the evening is a celebrity publicist. Ladies and gentlemen, can we welcome to Taisha Bradley. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Nice. I'm well. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Good. Could be better, but, you know, hanging in there. So looking at your website, looking at everything you're doing, what's going on? What's going on? Like, what inspired you to become a celebrity publicist?
That's good. That's a very good question to start
It's an incredible
with.
job, right?
Yes, 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 it is. And it's not very common, especially, people talk about PR and knowing PR, but there are lots of different niches to PR. So basically, growing up, I have an uncle who is Bill Pinkney of Bill Pinkney and the Original Drifters. So I'm from South Carolina. Beach music is huge there. And he was very popular in beach music. So growing up, I literally had a famous uncle, right? But of course, being from a small country town, he's just my uncle. He wasn't really that famous to me. But as I grew up and got to be older, I realized, that he was, a celebrity in music. And because, family, we went to a lot of his concerts, my family and I, we went to all his concerts. So I was always at concerts, backstage, behind the scenes, et cetera, et cetera. No big deal because it's how, I grew up.
It's normal for you.
It was normal for me. It just wasn't a big deal, and so I remember in particular at one concert, I was probably about maybe 8 years old. And there's always been like reporters and journalists around and, photographers taking pictures at concerts and shows. But there was this lady and I was just really interested in, what she was doing. I could tell that she wasn't like a manager. She wasn't like a stage person. She wasn't a journalist. So I asked her, like, what are you doing? And she was a publicist. And I was like, well, what is that? And she told me that, she kind of worked with the artists, helped them get press, arranged for the interviews, kind of organized the media that wanted to talk to people. So I pretty much watched her for the rest of the time. And I was like, this looks really cool. It's a part of the entertainment thing, but it's not like right out front. But like literally she was handling things back there. And that's how I first understood what a publicist was. And I was like, maybe I want to be that. But, I'd never heard of it before. No one else had ever heard of it. We're talking the 80s, right? So just moving forward in school, I was very into science. I loved school so much and I felt like I was going to be a doctor. I wasn't strong at math, but I was strong at science and language and, all of the things, just not math. So I ended up going to college for being a biology major with the pre-med focus. And listen, there was a lot of chemistry in that biology. And within a lot of chemistry is a lot of math. And it was not for me. It was not for me. So my freshman year of college, my second semester, I decided to change my major. I've always been like creative and in the arts and, into like businesses. For a hobby, I used to make up fake businesses and like make flyers and business cards for it on the computer.
Early
there was no Canva
entrepreneur
then.
Mindset.
There was no Canva then. We had old school tools, so that was my thing. So I decided that maybe I wanted to do something more creative. And I found this major called Integrated Marketing Communication. And it was new to the school. And it was classes in like marketing, advertising, feature writing, news writing, promotions, like, all of those things. And I was like, all right, we'll give it a whirl. Well, little did I know, I really fell into what was like my natural skill set. And I was really good and successful at the program. And I did really well in it. Comes time for me to get an internship. And listen, I'm a Virgo and I'm very Virgo. Shout out to the Virgos. I did not want an internship from the internship board, in the office, where you could just pick an internship. I was like, can I find my own? They were like, have at it. So there was a new radio station that had come to Charlotte, North Carolina, called Hot 92.7. And it was new and it was Kathy Hughes, Radio One. That was like brand new. And that was the very first Radio One station. And before they had even opened their doors, I was already calling asking for an internship. And they were like, while this sounds good and all, we don't have an internship program. But if you can get one set up with the school, get the information that you need, get us the paperwork, put it together, like, sure.
Do the legwork.
Of course, I did it, right? So I did it, got the program set up. And that is where I started kind of in the entertainment side of like PR, marketing, communications as a promotions intern at a Radio One station. And of course,
Nice.
in radio, everyone has like a radio name, right? And so I didn't have a radio name. And what they ended up calling me was Taisha Bradley, celebrity publicist. Well, it wasn't Bradley at the time, but the celebrity publicist like was like my radio name, my nickname moniker, because a lot of what I did was interacting with the celebrities because I already had that background, from my uncle being around celebrities. I knew, like what to do, what not to do, that certain decorum that you have around celebrities. So it would be me to go to the airport to pick up like celebrities that were coming to town for a concert, escorting them around. I've taken like Mario to the mall before when he
Nice.
was young, and we got mobbed at the mall. And of course, he was a lot younger, so I didn't really know who he was, and he was that popular. And I took him to he went to the mall. Bad idea. Totally got mobbed at the mall. Got mobbed at the skating rink later on. And so that's pretty much how I came into the celebrity publicist kind of thing, because I kind of got my roots in the ground with, being in radio stations. And I did PR and marketing like freelance in addition to being full time, like after college. And then I would pick up like celebrity clients. So my first celebrity client was author Matthew Lesko. Everybody really
Nice.
remembers him as the guy with the crazy question mark suit. He was my first client. He was doing the free money books. I don't know
Oh,
how old you are. You might not remember those. So he was doing the free money for baby boomers, because this was the year like that the baby boomers were, turning, retirement age. And I promoted that book for him. And one of the places that I did get a placement for him was AARP, which at the time, the AARP magazine was really new. It was perfect, retirement community, but it was negative. It was a negative article. They were like calling him a scammer, saying that,
No, that
watch out,
sucked.
boomers, people are going to start to prey on you. And I was like, oh no, like my first celebrity client, I get this great placement, in AARP, then I read it and it's negative. And I was so afraid to show it to him. I was like, I'm ruined. Like, it's already over. And so I showed it to him and he read it and he's like, excellent job. I was like, excellent job. Like, it wasn't positive. He was like, it's fine. I've never been in AARP before. Like, this is great.
Yeah, it's one of those things that like that they'll say in the entertainment industry is like bad news or something like that. Bad news is good news or something like that because you're constantly being talked about, so it's not bad.
So that goes into the whole thing where people say there's no such thing as bad PR,
Yeah, there you
And
go.
so that really made it like line up and make sense. And I will say that there is such thing as bad PR, but there's really no such thing as bad attention. It's what we're looking for. It's what
Preach.
everybody needs. It's what everybody is out there for. It's why everybody is creating content and doing all the things, because we want attention. We all want the same thing. We want the attention. At the end of the day, we have a different story to tell, a different message to share, a different product or service to tell. But the main thing that we all want and are fighting for is the attention. And overall, that's what publicists do. We get that attention directed to you. It's up to you to do your thing when we get the attention on you, but it's getting you attention. And we all know that, one of the biggest ways to get attention, a lot of attention on you is through the media. And that's why PR is so media focused, trying to get people on TV, on podcasts, in magazines and articles. And when people think about PR, even a lot of publicists, we think about journalism, right? Journalists, news and everything. But everything is so different now with the internet. So now PR is a lot more than just the news. It is finding someone with a big audience who can share your idea, your message, or your brand with their big audience. And that could be pretty much anyone. That could be pretty much anyone. It could be an influencer. It could be a brand partner. It could be one of your clients. We're all vying for that attention. And so today, PR is so much more than just getting in front of the media.
And not to mention that today is like back then you had that almost like that building scale, right? Now it's like the first thing they'll look at, how many followers do you have? How many views do you have? If you have, if you don't have these sources of validations, like you're not going to go anywhere. So
Mm-hmm.
like the industry has changed in a way, you know, like we need people like you to like help us find a way to get noticed.
Yeah, it's become very qualitative, but I feel like, PR is not hasn't always been very quantitative. If you are featured in a magazine, in a print magazine, say Essence Magazine, right? It's on the shelf, someone buys it, they read it. Do they throw it away and only one person read it? Do other people in the house read it? Do they put in a doctor's office and more people read it? Like, how do you know? You can't really tell, with some media how many people read it to know how many of those, impressions were made. And that's where, PR is kind of like that touchy-feely. It's not always quantitative where there's the numbers, but with digital media, things are more quantitative where you can see a number of views, you can see an audience. And so I feel a lot of times people who don't really understand PR and understand, about impressions and, we understand engagement, and followers because those are easy numbers. But you can have a small following or a small audience that is very engaged or that you have their undivided attention and be more effective, and be more seen and visible than someone who may have millions of followers, but people are following them just to watch the train wreck, but wouldn't buy anything from them, wouldn't really
Preach,
support
preach,
them in general.
yes.
They're just watching. It's one thing to have an audience and one thing to have onlookers. And I think a lot of people who have these millions and millions of followers kind of have onlookers. They're just there to be nosy, not to be supportive or, to support that brand.
Yeah, I noticed that, and we're like, I posted a video on my Instagram, which I use a lot. And out of nowhere, I'm seeing like constant like likes, comments, followers. And at one point, I went viral for the first time. But like, it kind of like became unmotivating. Like you would think you get that moment of like, wow, I'm like, this is an opportunity. But like, nobody was really interacting. Like you want to capitalize that moment and show what you're made of, show what you're doing, but it wasn't like that for me. So that really bummed me out. So I get 100% what you're saying when it comes to that.
You have to leverage that attention. A lot of people, they'll get the attention and then they aren't prepared to leverage it. Number one, people aren't ready to monetize it. If you have all these people looking at you, you need to be able to sell them something, ask for a donation, like do something with the attention. There's nothing like people going viral and it not turning in anything because they didn't have a way to monetize the attention
Yeah, man, I was
or a
ready. I
way
was
to
ready.
hang on to the audience, right?
I was ready. I that's you know once I saw that I start how do I put this? Start putting out clips, like promoting. This is what I got. Check this out. You know, like just putting myself out there. Why everybody's watching? And man, it really bummed me out.
I mean, it's social media. I think we put a lot of our hopes and dreams and our inspirations and our worth into social media. When back in the day when I started out, there was not social media. Baby, I'm a publicist who fast press
Say it.
releases. There was not that. You had to get it how you live. You had to call people. You had to email people. You had to pop up. You had to pull up. Like social media was not a thing. So when it did start up for a while, it still wasn't the end all be all, right? Like your business and your brand and how you beat your feet to the pavement was the cake. Social media was the icing to say, hey, this is something that I did or something that I offer, but you're still really doing the work. Now I feel like social media is like all icing, Like people
You
want to
depend on
create
it.
content and show things and, but like, what are you doing behind the scenes? Are you like really running a business? Is your business running effectively and efficiently? Are you making money or are you just, is this all icing? That's why they talk about a lot of people, big social media, not just content creators, but even like entrepreneurs, aren't as successful as they say they are, or,
I preach,
because that
preach.
pressure of the all icing, right? We want to do all icing, show all the good fun stuff, but like, are we not focusing on the cake? Are we focusing on the work?
There's so much volume of truth on what you're saying because all my solid followers that interacts once in a while but are there is because I've I got out of my house, got out of my comfort zone, your foot on the ground, and you're building these relationships with these individuals. Everything else, like everything, because it's the metaverse, right? Or whatever they call it now, everything is so media dependable that everything, it's through social media, and you're not really building relationships. You're not really, you got to touch sometimes to know it's real.
I think people aren't even necessarily really building the businesses anymore like they used to. You know, they're doing enough for the aesthetic, you know,
The
for the aesthetic.
e-commerce.
So I feel like a lot of people, even like myself, you know, not on social media all the time, all the time, all the time. Not because I don't want to be or because I don't mean to be, but like I'm really doing the work. Like I have clients and deadlines and I'm writing press releases and I'm setting up interviews and I can't always be there to show you all the icing because listen, I'm baking a lot of cake down here, you know, I'm doing a
Got
lot of work.
him.
And when I'm on a break and you know, I have a breather and things, you know, I'll pop up, I'll share, talk about things. But a lot of times I'm in the trenches with the people who are my followers, you know, who comment and share my stuff. Shout out to y'all. But like a lot of people are, and I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs that I follow that are like legit, that are really good, they're the same way. Like sometimes they're visible and very, very present, always in their stories. And sometimes I'm like, hey, like I hadn't seen anything in a while. And then they'll pop out and they've been like, I've been working on this project or I've been putting this deal together. I've been putting this course together. Like they have been in the trenches actually doing work. And then they can, you know, have time to pop
And
out and, you know,
that's
use
not
social media and
necessary.
show those things.
Yeah, that's not necessarily a bad thing. I think one of the laws from not sure if you ever read of is it the 49 power laws of power?
48 laws of power. Yes,
48.
I've read that and The Art of Seduction, which also goes to that, which helps a lot in PR.
So like there's a law where like it basically says something along the lines that you can't be always accessible. Because if you're always accessible, that you're like, how do I put this? And I'm paraphrasing, but like your energy, like your presence, like you have to be almost be like a myth or a legend. So when somebody sees you, they're like, oh shit, that's you, you know?
Definitely. When people are like really see you in the work, you know, doing the work and then, you know, you do the pop out, you know, they're like, oh, that's such a, and you never know who's really watching you, you know, who's really following you. A lot of times I feel like I'm just like yelling into an auditorium and I don't know if people are in there or not. I don't know if people are listening. I don't know if people are watching me, hearing me, because it's hard to get engagement. Like it can really bum you out. Feel
At
like
first,
everybody's
yeah.
liking this, but nobody's saying anything. Like, what does that mean? Or, you know, my friends will sit and they'll share reels with me all day. And I'm like, but do you share my reels like this? Like, I'm your homegirl. Like,
Yeah, and also
it
it's like
can really get you down.
it breaks down, and we're like, I can tell you're very much like me in the sense that if you're gonna put something out there, you wanna be valuable, you wanna be meaningful. And it's to develop engagement with something like that, it's a lot of legwork. It's going to take time and dedication. Mostly what everybody's is pushing forward is middling stuff, like without value. Yes, it's everybody. It's a skit, and where they talk about certain thing, but 20 million people are doing the same thing if you come to think about it. So it's
For
very
sure.
it's very. You'll get there. We'll all get there, damn it.
So I try to not put so much pressure on myself for social media and also with my clients as well. You know, because it's like you can never win. As soon as you kind of get something down, the algorithm changes, the rules change, something goes away, something comes back. It's just a lot of stress. So unless you're like a not a dedicated content creator, like don't get wrapped up into focusing all of that. I think for people who are looking to get attention and to get their message out there or, you know, to get in front of more people, you need to focus on when you do share. Focus on sharing things that let people know your expertise, you know, that demonstrate your expertise. You know what I mean? So that way, when someone is coming, they're considering buying a product or a service or partnering with you, when they come to your social media, they are seeing you practice what you preach. They're seeing you talk about what you say you specialize in, right? That's how I use social media, right? This is my records of receipts. It doesn't matter what's trending right now, you know, what's fun right now, what dance is good right now. Like people who I want to grab their attention, they're not looking for that. They're not caring about that. Am I who I say I am, if I want them to pay me to speak, then they come to my website or my social media and see me speaking, you know. It's I just use it that way, you know, so I don't feel pressured to like post all the time to be funny, hilarious. You know, I just don't use my social media that way. Now, you know, if I can entertain and show part of my personality so people can see, oh, she's got a personality, she's funny, she's jokester, you know, she makes pop culture references, she probably likes TV, that kind of helps the know, like, and trust kind of thing. But I'm not going to just do something because it's trending or a song is, you know, popular or whatever. I'm just going to be using that to build receipts for myself, and that makes me feel like less pressure, less obligated to get on there and just do something random. Because you know we've all done that, got on there and did something random. We watch it, be like, "This is stupid. Like, why did I do this? Nobody likes it. I'm just gonna delete it anyway." Like, it was funny when I thought I was gonna, you know, when I thought about it, but it doesn't add any kind of value. So focusing on what adds value, and when you're trying to get in front of media or big audiences, what do you want them to know about you? You know. Those are the kind of things that you should post on social media, especially if they can be evergreen things, you know, things that people could just go. I've checked out people and I've scrolled through a person's reels like all the way to the bottom, like, man, you know, and feel like I know so much about this person and I already know that this is somebody that I want to work with or somebody that I can trust. The media does the same thing. You know, if you're pitching yourself to media and you want to be out there, they're going to check you out, they're going to vet you. And every single time they go directly to social media. They go to your website and they go to social media, like no brainer. I have a podcast and I interview journalists, right? Because I want to ask them all these things. And it's a very unassuming way to ask them questions and, you know, get them to sell the game. Let's talk about it. And every single time, you know, when I'm saying when you're vetting a source for the media, which is someone that the media can rely on and trust and reach out to if they're working on a story or an article and they need a quote or somebody to fact check, you know, media have go-to people for that, right? And so the best way to build a good media relationship and to get your name out there is be somebody's go-to source in that industry. But when they are checking you out, right? Nobody wants to bring the whack person to the party. They're going to vet you out. And the first place they go is online, social media, into your website. So then what's going to be there? If I'm saying, you know, I want to be a publicity expert on like a court show, you know how on the court shows they call in like an expert
See
witness, you know, expert person.
that makes
Yeah. So when they
so much
go,
sense.
what do I want them to see? I want them to see me looking professional. I don't want them to see me dancing and hanging out with my friends. Like, that's not what I want to do there. You know, when they're checking me out, does it line up? Am I reliable? Am I resourceful? How do I show up? You know, do I curse on social media? Because if I do, then what if I curse on TV? I don't know if we can trust her. Those kinds of things you have to think about when you're posting on your business social media. If somebody's checking you out and they're vetting you for some business, what are they going to be seeing? Whatever you want them to see is what you should be sharing on social media. You don't have to do it all the time, but just make sure that you have that focus.
That's 100%. I get that one. Like you're speaking volume of truth because that's the same concept that I go through because I consider myself as a journalist, but like I'm not your typical trending topic or what's on the news. Like my sources, like I want to talk to the people who are actually doing stuff, who talk about business, what they're developing, but also hear their story, right? Because it's so important and where we often see these individuals like Jeff Bezos, right? Amazon founder. We see him now and where everything he built, he's showering himself with the resources and gains he did all that time building it. But we don't really see what we don't see the hard time, the hardships that he went through to build that. And that's something when I started the podcast, I wanted really to, dive in and document that. So when like I tell you, I told you when we first started, like I want people to get to know you, hear your story, but also talk about what you're doing because I want to have that real conversation and show the world and we're like, hey, you want to do something, you're gonna have to work for it. It's not simply as sharing and likes and all these instant gratifications. You gotta put the work in, like you've done. Like all the paperwork you did for your internship and till present time, like you had to work for that.
Right. Yeah. So nobody remembers that part, right, of my story. They remember they remember like the celebrities that I've met, the pictures that I've taken, the autograph collection that I have, you know, all glamour, right? So they didn't know the behind the scenes kind of things that happened with that, how I even had to get the internship, and I had to fight to keep the internship, how I kept the internship past a year past how long I needed to because my internship was done, but I still had this opportunity that was too good to let go, all this networking people. So I continued to be an intern for a whole year, unpaid, and it wasn't even a part of school. But it was so worth it to me because of what I was learning and the connections, you know, that I made. Nobody really remembers that, or maybe not even knows it. Everybody knew me from like college because I would give away concert tickets because, you know, because they wouldn't pay me, you know, they would give me stuff out the prize closet, you know. So I'd give away tickets to a Mary J. Blige concert or to an Usher concert, or give away t-shirts or CDs to everybody at school because I had an influx of that. But what I didn't have was money. You know, they weren't paying me. They couldn't pay me.
The
And so
most
I was just
important part,
eating
right?
it. Yeah, I was just eating it, trying to learn, you know, every single thing that I could and make those connections, you know, for later on for when I graduated. But you know, nobody remembers that part of the story. It's not the sexy part of the story, you know?
But it's like it's the most important part. Like I watched Kanye, right? He had this
Oh,
Jeezy
sir.
documentary, and we're like that spoke volumes of truth to me because he's always been that person, even in the past. And to have able to witness footage of what he went through and to where he is now, it's like, yo, this guy's been
That is
telling you from the beginnings.
genius. I wish I would have thought to do that. Like, documented the whole process.
And like this
Documented the
guy's
whole
been
process.
correct. And this guy's
Yes.
been telling you he's been this way for since back then. You're just now accepting it, but here's the footage, you know? So like I wanted that. I feel like documenting that it's so important. But it's so difficult in a world and like when everyone has a podcast and you're doing it for I don't know. It's a good reason because you want to make money, but they're not doing it to build a career, to build a rapport, to have something of value. And that's what I think I've been stuck at. And just hearing you explain in details, it helps me understand why I feel the way that I feel, but also why am I at in this predicament. I need somebody like her.
I think people, you know, it takes a lot longer and it takes a lot more work and you gotta eat a lot more crap to do it the right way in the real way, you know? And like, I'm fine with that because, you know, there's nothing worse than all these people talk about having imposter syndrome. I have imposter syndrome. I have imposter syndrome because you're an imposter. Like, why else would you feel that way? You know, if you know that you aren't really doing the work behind the scenes or that you're taking shortcuts or that, you know, you're just popular or you're
Yeah,
just
you're
cute
really doing
or,
it. You're
you
really
know,
like, and
it's different when you're really doing it. Like, when you're really doing it and you know that you're putting in that work, like, you don't care what people think of you because you know that you are doing work and you're making impact. And like, there's a subset of people who definitely know who you are and what you do and what you've done for them. And that's enough for me. You know, I've changed some people's lives. I feel like in my career, I used to be resentful a little bit. I'm gonna tell you why. I had to think, it took me years to realize this. I would outgrow my clients. Like, my
Oh, wow.
clients would blow up. My clients would blow up and leave me in the dust. Not, you know, not leave me high and dry like they never knew me, but I would be like, man, if I could help somebody get to this level, why not me? Why not me? And then I started thinking about like purpose and you know, everybody's the purpose thing. And what I learned was that my career in PR was living in my purpose because what I really, really love the most about PR, and so it's fun, glitz and glam and everything, I really love showing off the world's hidden gems. Like, you ever see somebody, you be like, this person is so dope. Like, do you know such and such? You don't know. How do you not know who this is? You need to know who it
Yes.
is. Like, I get that sense of urgency about people. I'll meet somebody or see somebody, and I'm like, gosh, everybody should know about this person. I feel like it's my responsibility to let people know. I would do that for, like, it's things that I would do for free, like put people on or send, somebody, connect
Generally,
somebody with the
yeah.
media. Cause I'm like, I have this journalist who's looking for a black cigar roller. I know I'm not your publicist, but listen, can I connect y'all? Like, I really love that so much. And I was like, maybe that is my purpose, Maybe my purpose is to get these downloads for God. And he's like, listen, I got this person who's doing a thing. I want you to put them on, Maybe that's my job. Maybe my job is to help usher people to the other side. And like, that's my thing. And just be really good at that. Be the best at that. It's gonna be my turn one day. But I just really had to accept that, maybe that's what I do. And I talk to other publicists on my podcast sometimes as well. I'll have some other people, and they feel the same way, like this sense of purpose to help other people do a thing, And so I had to realize that, maybe that was my thing to help people get to the other side, because I used to be resentful about it. I
I
had a
feel
client
that,
who I was about to land this big person. They're a big celeb. They blew up now, but at the time they were like really popular on social media. I ain't gonna say who it is because I don't want to be associated
yeah.
anymore. I dodged that bullet. But I was about to be introduced to them to be intro to consider being their publicist. So I had gone through all this back and forth with their manager, all this vetting, all the formalities and everything, for at the last minute, this social media influencer got an offer from OWN and from Facebook TV for their own show. So,
Nice.
immediately that goes away, because those big powerhouses, they have their own teams, and I was like, oh, here goes another one. You know what I mean? Like, outgrew me before we even really get it started, with the OWN deal and a Facebook TV deal. But later on, that person got into like a lot of trouble, and they got canceled. And I was like, woo,
Whoa.
because what I don't do anymore is crisis PR. I don't do it. I don't want to do it. It's a lot of pressure. It's scary. It's unhinged. Shout out to all the publicists and the communication people who do that. But when I started doing freelance PR full time for myself, this is my 10th year being full time,
Nice. Congrats.
self-employed. Thank you. But like, when I started doing it for myself, I was like, listen, I don't want to do that at all. Like, it's a lot of pressure. It's,
It's
Everybody's
cleaning up
looking at you.
messes.
Tell us what to say. Tell us what to say. And you can't tell people say the wrong thing, Especially today in the cancel culture. Like, I just don't like to get involved in crisis PR. I recommend my clients get an attorney to help them, decide what to
Legal,
say,
yeah.
when to say. Yeah, just go legal at this point in time, because people are so quick to cancel and sue.
Do you get, I want to ask you a question because you shed so much light on that. Like you definitely show you have years of experience. Like you know what you're talking about, right? So like when it comes to situations like that and where like crisis PR, right? That's right.
Yes.
Like, and they get canceled. Is it because how they were built in that whole process, how the artist or the celebrity was built? Because there's some celebrities that like really say, I ain't canceled, you canceled. And then boom, they still have that journey and still doing their thing. Like nothing, it
Oh,
doesn't
for
faze
sure.
them.
Yeah, this person who got canceled is still out there doing things, probably more popular. I think it's kind of how you leverage it. I think the cancel thing, like, I don't think anybody can be really canceled
Yeah.
anymore. We have this cancel culture where everybody's like, oh, we're not supporting this person anymore. But for those people, there's like three people who just are hearing about this person, and checking them out. Don't know any of the background. They
Yeah.
don't care. They're just following, seeing who this person is. But I think that, with the internet being, anybody can hop on there. And you can hop on there unhinged, you can hop on live. A lot of that you can't take back. You can't unsay. People record things. You can delete it later, but guarantee you there's somebody recording it waiting for you to mess up. And
Yeah.
I think it's inevitable, even as a podcast host, right?
Yes,
Or a
yeah.
podcast guest, where you just talking and you just spitting. Like, sometimes you might just say something that might be a little bit crazy or came out wrong, but it's done, So I feel like, when you talk about things and you say things online, don't talk about anything that you wouldn't really stand 10 toes down on,
Yeah, 100%.
that you wouldn't do it. Some topics I'm like, eh, I'm not gonna, I kind of want to say something about it or talk about
Yes,
it, but I
yes.
don't want to argue. I don't want to get canceled, I don't want to do it. So I feel like, I choose when I want to be, you know, in front of an audience and
When
what I
you're
want
ready
to
and
talk
willing,
about.
yeah.
Yeah, and that if I do say something, you know, that people disagree with, I'm ready to stand 10 toes down on it, you
Yeah,
know.
I know I have some early episodes within the 50 range, that area, and we're like, have a couple of guests that won't talk about a specific topic or what's going on in the media. And you know, I it aggravates me in a way because that's not what I want, because it's like the Will Smith type of thing, and we're like, people want they want you to talk about this, and I refuse to because it's not valuable. You're making, you know, the strength, you gotta, it's like you know where you're worth. You gotta, once you get to like your 10 year into this business, you gotta know, like, all right, so like if I'm gonna talk about it, that better come with a check. You know, like you have a certain value, and we're like, what you say and what you do has so much credibility that nobody can overshine that. That when you sit on the podcast or you go on a show, you have tremendous value. You know it's gonna bring something. You know?
And again, like I say, when I try to show up, I try to show up for the people that I'm trying to attract and the
Yes.
people that I want to, you know, reach out to me. And with me being a celebrity publicist, how wild is it for me to be commenting on stuff like that, saying wild things, right?
Yeah.
Because that's going to make a celebrity be like, I'm not about to work with her, you know, because if something goes on and she's speaking on it, that could be a problem. And it's really hard because I watch a lot of TV and pop culture and YouTube, and I'll be wanting to say stuff so bad, right?
It
I'll be in
bites
the
your
comment
tongue, yeah.
threads, but I won't say anything. I'll be like, ha ha, you know, if somebody says something I think is funny or that I agree with or I like it, but like I try not to even say things about it. I will often, I'm not into my family or to my friends, but when I'm online, what am I trying to not portray myself as, but what, how do I want people to know how I am, represent them? Like if I wouldn't bash another celebrity, then I wouldn't bash you. If I wouldn't tell, you know, the business, like this other
Yes.
person, I didn't mention their name, right? Because, you know, that person could circle back and be like, what's up? I'm popping now. Everything is good. You know, I don't want to ruin things like that. So you have to think about who your audience is, not who your audience is, but who your target audience is and the kinds of things that, you know, the way that you want to rep your present yourself in front of them. I've just gotten so many offers and opportunities just kind of based on my online decorum, you know, just personality and just kind of like the way I govern myself. And I think other people should do that and keep that in mind, you know, if you want to a place that I've broken into that I didn't really think that I would is into like the religious sector. I've done a lot of PR for a lot of high profile pastors, but like I wouldn't say that like I'm a faith-based business or a faith-based publicist, but the way that I present online and my
Yes.
decorum, you know what I'm saying? It works. And I've gotten a lot of paid speaking engagements for like churches and doing workshops and, you know, are able to travel and represent these people. And it's not because, you know, I'm on there doing sermons or anything, but, you know, for the most part, you know, I want to open up. I'm
Yeah,
clean. I
you
don't
give
curse
out,
online. I do offline.
yeah.
But you know what I mean? But like how I represent myself, they are able to know, like, and trust me to even work in that area. And, you know, that just comes because I am always cognizant of what people are seeing when they're coming to me and how I'm representing myself. Because again, like everything is vetting. No one comes to you directly and, you know, wants to get, oh, so what are your morals? What do you like? What do you talk about? That they're going to go online and like check you out. So what you're putting out there, you know, needs to reflect to what you want to attract. And what you do in your personal life and offline, like that's, you know, totally fine. But you have to think about, you know, what, how you presenting online. You know, what are you wearing? Are you dancing? You know, everybody goes on vacations and turns up, right? But I don't know if I would necessarily put that on like my business social media, you know, just because people are vetting you all the time. And usually the media is even vetting me when I say I have someone, you know, a client for you or someone who could help you with this story. First of all, they're going to check out me. What are they going to see? You know, because if they can't trust me, they're not going to trust who I'm bringing them as well.
No, it's that's facts. That's facts. What how can the people reach you out to get your service? Like how can they find you?
Yes. So I have a website and my PR company is called Media Circus Publicity. media circus. And a lot of times people think that media circus is usually in a negative connotation, right? They're like, oh, it's a media circus, you know. But really, the definition of media circus is an inordinate amount of media attention on a subject. Why is that bad? Why is that bad, right? But it's something bad or negative that everybody wants to watch. You know, everybody wants to watch a train wreck. Everybody's going to cover that. That's a media circus. But what if we created a media circus for good? You know, what if I had just an inordinate an or I keep messing that up, an inordinate amount of people reaching out to you to be on a podcast, to be on TV, to come talk about something, to be a speaker. Like, what's wrong with that? You know, you just have a bomb publicist, so you have a ton of media opportunities. And a lot of times people will see people and like, why not me? Why are they always on this and they're always on that and always an article? Oh, because they probably have a publicist who's, you know,
Putting them
blessing all
out
that
there.
attention on them. So yeah, so Media Circus Publicity is my website, mediacircuspublicity.com. I'm Media Circus PR. I'm on social media. And if I'm not Media Circus PR, then I'm Taisha Bradley PR on social media. I have a podcast. It's called Media Circus with Taisha Bradley, Celebrity Publicist. And I have one season, not like you, though. I'm trying to get there. I have one season,
You'll
11
get there.
episodes so far. And listen, those 11 episodes was a struggle. Like,
I hear
podcast hosting
that,
is not easy. Being a guest for me is easy. Being a host was not as easy as I thought it was, but we're getting there. So shout out to you and your awards and, you know,
thank you, I
everything.
appreciate it.
It's not easy, so. But I have the podcast and I interview journalists and, you know, we talk about their background, their story, what's a newsworthy story, you know, what they look for, pitch do's and don'ts, things that I want to know as a publicist that I think are valuable for everyone to know as well. So a lot of free game. I'm on the podcast for this season. I'm going to be bringing on not just journalists, but people who have been featured in the media, right? Like what that has looked like, you know, for them. How did that happen? How did that change their business or their personal brand for the good, the bad, the ugly? Like, tell us all about it. So I'm excited to be able to do that.
Nice.
I have a Patreon account called Media Circus. Yeah, Media Circus Leads. I call it publicity leads though. And on that, I post low-hanging PR opportunities, things that you can pitch for yourself. Some are evergreen, some, you know, are a time limit. Some I find online and just post there. Some journalists reach out to me and they're looking for specific people on there. So people can join that, look through there, browse and pitch, you know, on their own without having to pay a publicist. You know, a lot of people are pretty capable of, you know, kind of pitching things themselves. So I have that as well. And then I also do events, which I am doing a really big event this year with the Dove Awards, the GMA Dove Awards. I
Nice.
have partnered with the GMA Dove Awards Fan Experience, and that fan experience allows you to participate in all of the Dove Award weekend activities, things that are not available to the public. So not
Nice.
only am I going to take a group for that, and we're going to get that whole celebrity experience, you know, the backgrounds, we're going to go to the songwriter showcase, the new artist showcase of the year, we're going to have dinner at the Dove Awards, going to check out the red carpet, just so many things. But my group who are coming with me are going to have me as their publicist for the weekend at the Dove Awards, right? So, you know, they're going to be on the list, they're going to be taking pictures, really getting that celebrity style treatment. And then we're also going to be taking them around on a press tour, curated press tour, to do interviews and publicity appearances around Nashville for that weekend as well. So
Nice.
anyone who wants to be in the entertainment industry, be around the entertainment industry, whether you're a faith-based business or not, this is the opportunity to really rub elbows and get really, really super duper close, you know, with this network of people over a weekend with a publicist by your side. So I'll be there making introductions for you, pitching for you. We have dinner with several different Nashville journalists in the area where you'll actually get to sit down and eat dinner and pick their
Nice.
brain or pitch them and talk to them. So I'm really excited about doing that, and that is in September 29th to October 2nd in Nashville. But before that, I'm going to be doing lots of like online and offline events as well, taking the media circus around the country. So we're looking to go to Killeen, Texas to do a media day and also to do a press day in Miami as well. So I'm really excited about doing that. It's
Nice.
all my favorite fun parts of like PR into some events. You know, this is my year of joy, and I was like, I'm gonna do more of the parts of my business that bring me joy, and like being out and about and on the carpet and traveling. Like, that's so fun. You know, the glamorous parts of PR, you know, I'm focusing a lot on that this year.
Nice. Congrats, congrats, congrats. Do you have anything else? Some news, website may be coming out?
Let's see. So people often ask me for like tools and resources and ideas and links and things. There is a page on my website that I love, love, love. And it's links of, you know, different PR tools, content creation tools. I'm big into affiliate marketing, creating your own brand deals.
Yes.
And so I have a whole page on my website, mediacircuspublicity.com/links of all these tools and resources and places that I recommend that people use to get PR, to, you know, help with their content creation. Lots of people who will, you know, work with people allow you to create your own brand deals. So usually I refer people to that, especially when I'm talking and telling them about these tools. They're like, wait, let me write it down. What's it called? But everything I talk about is on that page. So I highly encourage people to go to that page and look and see what kind of tools and resources that I share to, you know, help take them to the next level.
Well, boom, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Go check her out. Go check out her resources. Go check out her podcast. Go hit her up if you need a celebrity publicist. Like,
You don't have to be a celebrity.
boom, go hit
You're
her
the
up.
celebrity of your own brand.
Yes, there you have it. Go hit her up. Go support her. Go check her out. Make sure to follow me on Instagram, Mr.DreamAspire10. Go like and subscribe our YouTube channel, Deal Talk TV. I'm out, guys. Have a good night.